The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. The text I lay on your hearts for this morning comes from James chapter 1, verses 16 through 18. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So far our text, Lord, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. I'm not like that anymore. I'm a changed man. These words are often heard from after someone makes an attempt to change some sort of destructive behavior or habit for the better. Perhaps this may be uttered from the lips of a newly released prisoner on his way to rehab, or maybe from a former drug or alcohol addict, a former pornography user, or an estranged father attempting to reconcile with his son. It is truly a wondrous and joyful occasion when someone turns back from a lifestyle that proves to be harmful to either himself or others, and seeks reconciliation. But how often are these words actually genuine? How often does that new behavior remain? A study done in Tampa Bay, Florida, revealed some rather staggering results on this subject, stating that in the case of substance abuse, between 40 and 60% of former addicts will eventually relapse to their former ways. What a sad state of affairs indeed. It gets even worse when you and I look at the situation we find ourselves in. We are addicted to sin itself. The law of God tells us that we are anything but perfect, and our relapse rate is not just 40%, not just 60%, but 100%. Think of something that may have looked really appealing at the time, really attractive. Maybe it didn't look like it could cause such harm, yet the results was a tainted reputation, or an estranged relationship, or a loss of property, or even a loss of career. How often do you and I suffer the consequences of a sin that we have committed? Even after vowing to never do it again, how long did that promise actually last before the same thing happened and we fell into that temptation again and again and again? Yet, all the physical consequences of that sin, the pain, the nagging conscience, the lost friendship, the sleepless nights, are nothing compared to the ultimate consequence of that sin, eternal death. The verse immediately preceding our text says, sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Sin leads to death, that undeniable and terrifying end that awaits people who find themselves trapped in it, and who love it like an addiction. Because of all this, James writes this blessed message that we found at the start of our text this morning. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. In contrast to so many other people out there in the world today who fear death to so great a degree, you need not have any fear at all. You have been given something that is far greater than any human gift. It is a gift that gives comfort to your troubled heart. A gift that shows you that death is not the terrifying end for you that so many out there fear it to be. It's a gift that reassures you you have been changed indeed. And that gift is the Word of God. In its rich pages, we find God's plan of salvation, how he promised it, enacted it, preserved it, and carried it through to its completion. That word teaches Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came down from heaven and looked around at all the ugly, destructive attitudes and actions which the human race continually performed again and again, and he didn't give in to a single one. While the devil tried with all his evil forces to tempt Jesus and ruin God's plan to save you, all those attempts became futile, for Jesus remained faithful even in the face of death. While on the cross, many mocked him, tormented him, and continued to tempt him with the attractive idea of using his divine power to come down from that cross and make all the present suffering go away. But that's not what he did. Even with dying breath, his thoughts were only centered on you and me. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It is in the Word that we learned we have disobeyed God's law, yet it is also in the Word that we find the only solution to our once certain damnation. It is in the Word that the Holy Spirit teaches us to fall at the cross of Jesus. There the Father looks down upon you, changed from sinner to saint in the blood of Christ. It is through his word that we learn of Jesus' life, through his word that we learn of his suffering, through his word we learn of his death, and through his word that we learn of his resurrection. Now, what does all of this mean for you and me? Well, the word teaches us that too. The word of truth changes you. It found you a lost child of the darkness, and it made you a redeemed child of God through a revelation of that saving gospel message. Your sins are forgiven. You are changed. What's more, we can be confident that we have been changed indeed, because the only one in the universe qualified to change us is the only one who doesn't change. God, who created and rules all things, and continues to give you every good and perfect gift. That is why we may give him the awesome title, the Father of Lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Our everlasting God alone has the authority and power to make you his child and give you new life through his Son. So you have been changed by the word of truth. Through Christ, who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, you will be called to your eternal home, where your relapse rate back into your sinful state will be 0%. Now, you can confidently declare, with all the earth to hear, I'm not like that anymore. I'm a changed man, a changed woman. I'm a child of God. Amen. We'll now close with the singing of hymn 696, verses 1 and 2.